Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing our show, and we are ready to do this on this Tuesday, March 14th, 2017, coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI. And we have our worldwide live listening available for you on my website, buckmastershow.com, and of course, the KVOI.com website, which together you'll find us really anywhere in the world. If you're around a computer, you can listen to the program. Let's go right now to the nation's capital, the snowy nation's capital. Terry Bracey is with us. Mr. Bracey, our expert on Washington, D.C. and governmental affairs. Terry has enjoyed a long and distinguished career, beginning as a key aide to Congressman Morris K. Udall. He went on to serve under four presidents of both parties. He is the senior partner in the respected governmental affairs firm of Bracey, Tucker, Brown, and Valenzano, which represents the city of Tucson and the Central Arizona Project. Terry, are you in Florida or are you in snowy D.C.?
I got in an airplane and got to Florida. Are you kidding me?
Smart guy. Boy, you got out in time.
I have shoveled enough in my life. I'm not doing it anymore.
Oh, man, I don't blame you.
Yeah, well, now you can't get out.
No,
you know? It's sort of back to normal this afternoon. Hey, how about those Wildcats?
Pretty cool. I tell you, the path to victory in the finals looks pretty good. In fact, we're going to talk more about that with Anthony Jimeno at 12:30. But I think the Cats look like they got a real good shot, Terry.
Boy, I do too, and I certainly see them in the Final Four.
Yeah,
I'm just looking through the brackets, and I don't know. You know, you get to the Final Four, and it's all about who has a great night. You know, teams are tired, but I think they've got the inside game and the outside game, and my Lord, they've got talent. I mean, and it's Coach Miller gives us a great team every year, but this is one of his best, I think.
And one of my,
so I've really got my fingers crossed. I'm very excited.
One of my three universities, Northwestern University, very exciting that they're finally in the big tournament. The first NC2A basketball tournament was there in Chicago, 1939, but Northwestern never has gone into the tournament until now, so that's exciting.
Well, you've had Loyola of Chicago in there. I think Loyola Chicago actually won it.
They did. 1963, the Ramblers from Loyola.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Hey, Terry, let's talk about the Trump administration and your evaluation of the Trump government. And I kind of chuckle because I shouldn't perhaps, but you did say, and you gave this new White House, you said there would be a degree of chaos to begin, and you wanted to see how it all would play out. What do you think now?
Well, it's becoming clear that maybe the chaos is settling down just a bit, although not much. But behind all of this, there's a very disciplined and determined group of ideologues led by Stephen Bannon, and they're really, frankly, laying plans to destroy the domestic cabinet agencies, starting with labor and education, part of health and human services, commerce, justice, and even transportation. It's a surprising thing to say, but these people apparently see themselves as historic reformers who will break the back of what they call the administrative state.
And what do you understand that to be, the administrative state?
Well, Bill, in Mr. Bannon's view, it is in the first instance the executive branch of government that has grown in responsibility from FDR on to Obama as government realized it had social responsibilities as well as military ones. But in his view, it's not solving social problems. It's, in his view, all these agencies are agencies of unnecessary regulation, that they waste money, that they cook up schemes like so-called climate change. He sees this, he's called this government the enemy of the people.
And
he's sitting right next to the boss.
That's kind of, well, that's quite a claim, isn't it? Enemy of the people. And then, so how is the Trump government going to make these changes, do you think?
Well, I don't think they will, but I think this is how they're going to go about it. They're going to send up to Congress a shock budget. And now keep in mind that Congress often takes a president's budget and throws it in a tin can. And also keep in mind that many interests, such as the city of Tucson, will be fighting for their programs. But anyway, this request is going to reportedly shift $54 billion in domestic spending on public housing, on education, on medical research, on addiction recovery, on trade, on transportation, and more. And it would take that $54 billion and send the whole thing to the Pentagon. Now, I'm no expert on military spending, and Lord knows I'm proud of our armed services. I've had many in our family serve. But I would point out, Bill, that the U.S. currently spends on defense more than the next 12 nations combined, including Russia. So the need, I'm not sure.
Well, this could be some good news, though, for Tucson, correct?
Well, you know, we already know that DM is in good shape, so no real change there. But it would probably help our aerospace sector. I think that would be a plus. And of course, that's a big job producer and a good pay. But you know, the other side of it, though, you have to weigh, which is that, you know, all the community's crucial programs that are the backbone of things would receive under this plan, although we're going to fight it, little or nothing. And some of the victims would be, for example, our public housing program, all federally assisted environmental programs. The university would lose millions and millions in support that support research and jobs. And it's not at all clear that our future transportation needs would be funded. How do you do it when you give all the money to the Pentagon? You know, a good example, thinking back, is that under this budget, the downtown renovation would have never happened. Much of that was done with federal grants.
So the focus right now, of course, is the Republican health care plan. Do you see that becoming law or some kind of version of this that is currently being debated?
Well, I think something will become law. But I think the Ryan plan is dead on arrival. And frankly, I was kind of curious when all of a sudden Mr. Bannon's newspaper, Breitbart, starts attacking Speaker Ryan in yesterday's paper and today's. So, you know, that's kind of an interesting thing. This could be their way of saying goodbye to any of Speaker Ryan's medical care plans. And I haven't read the whole bill. There's some good things in it. For example, it would allow insurance companies to compete across state lines, and that certainly would put competition into the marketplace, and it could drive down costs. But overall, it looks like the Ryan plan, again, which I don't think is going to be accepted, is an absolute shift of money from the lower classes who have been helped by the Obama plan to the rich, an absolute shift of as much as $600 billion over 10 years. So, I don't know. It looks to me like they're going the wrong direction. And I think that you sense that when the conservatives in the House oppose it as a welfare program, and the more moderate Republicans are concerned that some 24 million people would be left without insurance again. The doctors are worried that they'll be treating patients at the emergency care again without payment. And so everybody's concerned. It's going to be a lot slower process I think, Bill, than people imagine. Speaker really tried to run this through the Congress quickly, and I think it hit a brick wall.
And the president's pretty much been on the sidelines, hasn't he, through this, not talking a lot about the health care program.
Well, no disrespect intended, but I currently see President Trump, frankly, as a distraction who provides the entertainment and the headlines when the serious work, and it is serious, is being done off stage.
All righty. Terry Bracey, thank you very much. Always interesting to hear your opinions. We will talk to you next month. Thanks, Terry.
I'll look forward to it, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Terry Bracey with us on the Buckmaster Show, talking to us from sunny Florida. He's lucky not to be in D.C. right now where that big snowstorm is happening. 12:15, and Shelley Fishman is up next, and thumbs down on Shelley on the market. We'll find out how far back after this.
At the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, we've been caring for homeless pets for over 72 years. But as we've grown, our campus hasn't, and our pets and staff are crowded in run-down, dilapidated buildings. The need for a new campus is critical. The homeless pets in our care need healthier, stress-free space, and we need room to expand the important work of adoption and education. Please help us build our own forever home. Visit hssaz.org and donate today, because we're all in this together.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with the businesses they trust. At BBB, we also want to honor their efforts for doing business the right way. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that our annual Torch Awards are happening on Friday, April 7th at 5:30 p.m. at Casino del Sol. It will be a fun, elegant evening of celebration, and we hope you will join us. Register today at tucson.bbb.org. Thanks for doing business the right way, Southern Arizona.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday at noon, a newsmaker interview with Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction, Diane Douglas. The Tucson City Councilwoman Karen Ulick also will join us on Buckmaster from noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI with worldwide live listening, podcasts, and our show archive on my website. That's buckmastershow.com.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
But there's nothing in the disclaimer that says I can't make a recommendation, and I do to Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner. Shelley, how is your week going
so
far?
The week is going
early in the week for
us. Just great, Bill, except, of course, today's Tuesday. The market's down. But
of course, of course. And it's been a flat market for the last couple of weeks.
Well, the irrational exuberance of the post-election days is now, I think, beginning to become a little bit more introspective and reflective of what we're seeing in, number one, national policy, and number two, fiscal policy as defined by the Fed.
Well, the Fed is going to, all eyes will be on the Fed this week. The Fed's got their, the Fed meets, what, four times a year?
They meet four times a year, and the open market, Fed itself meets constantly, but the open market committee meets four times a year, and they're meeting this week. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock, just after 2 o'clock Eastern time.
Be 11 o'clock our time.
Exactly.
So this would be the first quarterly meeting then.
This will be the first quarterly meeting.
Year.
And
yeah.
What we're expecting is another 25 basis point rate increase. And that won't come as a surprise. I think that's already baked in to the market. But what is being discussed now is, well, two things. Number one, what kind of guidance are we going to get from the Fed in terms of how aggressive they're going to be the rest of the year in implementing rate hikes? But more importantly than that, there's a fundamental economic dislocation between the Fed's stated economic goals and the administration's stated economic goals. And this gets a little wonkish, but what the Fed is looking for is to keep, they have two basic objectives, two basic functions in life. One is to keep inflation under control and at a rate that is high enough to allow and promote growth, but low enough such that that inflation does not become disruptive of the economy. And their second goal is full or the equivalent of full employment.
Are their two kind of stated fundamental
missions. That's the missions of the Fed.
Okay.
So when we have employment at 4.6%, or unemployment at 4.6%, and the rate of people who have been out of the employment market going down as well, we get very close to what the Fed considers full employment. For unemployment to go lower than that, for the number of people working to be more than that, you would need to have significant demand, number one, but the Fed is afraid of demand. This is the other side of the sword. The Fed is afraid of demand when that demand is not driven by higher productivity, when it's only driven by more spending, because that tends to be, guess what?
Inflationary.
Precisely.
Yeah. Okay.
So they're looking for about 2.1% inflation. Looks like we're very close to that right now. So the Fed at this point thinks and might state, well, things are pretty much in balance. And if that's the case, they would not come up with a very aggressive tightening of the economy through increases in the interest rate, except that the interest rates are so low by historical standards, though you know, we've had low rates now for long enough that it becomes history.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Fed would like to see the rate at around 3%, and it would consider that to be, a status quo rate, and we're nowhere near that. We're still below 1%.
Now, you said there would be perhaps opposition with the administration, not perhaps verbal opposition, but there would be a different picture coming from the administration.
Well, the administration has stated that in order for their plans to make sense economically, mm-hmm. they're looking at 3.5-4% growth. Well, that's twice what the Fed is looking for and twice what the Fed will control for. And the Fed is independent. Keep that in mind. So most economists believe that any growth above 3% for a prolonged period of time is not attainable in this economy. When you take a look at growth over the past 20 or 30 years, that rate is somewhere in the 2.93% area in good years, and it drops below 1% in bad years. So what we're seeing is a fundamental disconnect between what, for instance, the Ryan budget would have us believe, that plug-in of 3.5%, what the Fed says is sustainable, which is 2.1-2.2%, and squaring that circle becomes kind of a matter of political discourse rather than practical economics.
You expect then the Fed would look at a small increase perhaps for each quarter this year that they get together?
At least three times this year.
Three times.
To try to get the short-term interest rates in the 1.5% range, which would be kind of halfway to where they need to be.
And the last time we were at around where we need to be, in their opinion, at around 3%.
2004, 2005.
That's a long time.
It's a long time
it's
ago.
It's been a long
10
time.
Years. It's 10 years. And keep in mind, Bill, people like you and me,
mm-hmm.
You can talk about the slow recovery after
right.
the Great Recession,
mm-hmm.
but we've also had no interest rates. So
right.
if you're working, if you're earning money,
right.
you're putting money away in a responsible way toward your retirement, and building that retirement fund, you've had now 15 years or close to 15 years with almost no inflation. So that, you know, if your portfolio is growing even at a modest 5 or 6% rate and you're experiencing 1 or 2% inflation, you've experienced a very, very beneficial time
mm-hmm.
in you know, kind of the history of
yes.
of people saving for their retirement successfully. And we don't realize that. I mean, we hear so much, political discourse about this artificially slow recovery and the fact that jobs haven't recovered the way they should and all of that. And a lot of that is true, and a lot of the dispirited kind of discourse and concern that we get, especially in middle America, is very, very valid and has to be listened to. On the other hand, we have, for baby boomers like you and me, we have had a decade or more of conditions that are really very fundamentally favorable to, you know, our saying, well,
yes.
we're done now, and
yeah.
you know, let's retire.
I mean, we almost have a whole generation of
exactly.
young people who have never experienced a kind of a hyperinflation of like the Jimmy Carter era, certainly nothing
and
like
may
that.
May that never happen again.
Oh my goodness, when inflation would go up 12 to 15%.
But you're absolutely right. Not only for those of us who are close to retirement or
mm-hmm.
who are, you know, mm-hmm. kind of inching into retirement, but the generation that is in their young working years and going into their most productive years,
like Ray
never,
on the other
like
side
Ray,
of the
sure,
glass. Yeah,
have
we're
never
talking
experienced
right too. No,
the kind of dislocations
no.
until 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And even that, mm-hmm. we have had a very steady kind of crawl out from that. So,
right.
so we need to be retraining people. We have a whole different economy. Whether you like the integrated world or you don't like the integrated world, it's a fact of life.
It is. Yeah.
And so
times have changed.
These are things that you and I didn't experience as we were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very different kind of world. You know, when when people worked for 40 years for a company and then retired with a company-defined pension, that hasn't been around now for a while. And so that our kids, our grandkids, have never even thought about that.
No.
And so the whole thing is different. So if you work the numbers on the economy, you'll see growth rates of 5 and 6% back in the 50s and mm-hmm. early 60s. That's not happening again.
Nope. Nope.
And so what the Fed is trying to do now is find a balance. What is alarming to me a tiny bit is that balance is out of sync with the political balance being set by our legislature and our executive branch. Those things have to come into some sort of concurrence.
All right. Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. You can find out more about Shelley by going to buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Shelley. And if you would like to reach him, and I hope you do, he'll quickly return your phone call and be in touch with you and talk. Thanks, Shelley.
Bill, have a great week.
Thank you.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, capturing the spirit of New Orleans cuisine. Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you at Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails. Open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at RTA Mobility.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Be a warm weekend, be a great weekend though to take a road trip over to Silver City in that mile high elevation. That means anywhere from about 5,500 feet to 7,000 feet will make for a very delightful weekend. Just 3-hour drive over to Silver City, enjoy the world famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, but there's a lot of things to do even in historic downtown Silver City. Go to southwestnewmexico.org. Their fine website has the full listing of the many places to stay, and there's some really nice places in that area and many recreation opportunities. Let's go now on the live line to the mayor of the town of Marana, Ed Honey, who for about 14 years has been leading the town. Mayor, how are you?
Doing well, Bill. Been on the council for 30 years.
You've been on
senior elected official in Pima County, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, my goodness. So the mayor for about half of that 30 years with the council.
That's correct.
Wow. The council meets today, is that correct?
That is. We're having a study session this afternoon, yes.
Yeah, and one of the items, I understand, would be to end, in effect, the relationship with the Pima Animal Care Center and then contract with the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. Why is this change being contemplated?
Well, it's the cost is going up and up and up and up. About $230,000 cost to us. And to kind of put that in perspective, if you live in Pima County, the 350 of the million people in Pima County, you don't pay any extra cost. But all of the cities and towns are charged so much money. I think the city of Tucson pays $5 million. And we just don't feel we're getting really good service. I have not seen an animal control truck in 20 years in North Marana.
What?
We just don't see them. I had two individuals call me last week that had one with a cat and one with a dog problem, and animal control refused to even come out. So we are kind of looking at it is we can do it for about the same cost. We'll hire two animal control officers, buy a truck. Humane Society is a no-kill as well. So, I mean, it's not trying to save money by killing animals or anything either. And we just think we can provide a better service. We'll respond to all calls. And the Humane Society is a great group to work with, and they're very excited about it. I mean, it's still not settled. Whatever our council comes up with is what we'll do. But so that's kind of what we're looking at.
How would that work with the Humane Society? Would they then operate your facility?
They would. We would take the animals to their facility.
Oh, okay. I see. Now I got you.
We would buy, you know, a couple trucks and hire a couple officers. And as we pick up animals, we would take them to their facility. We're kind of excited because, like on Founders Day and different things like that, that we have big events in the town. We could have animal adoption clinics right at the event.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that will be a way to get a lot more animals back, you know, get them a home. And we'll do education in the schools and for HOAs and everything else. And we just think we'll be able to do better service and more hands-on.
And so it's not really as much, it's more of a, you believe, the service rather than really the cost here at stake.
Yeah, I mean, if if we were paying that cost, and you saw animal control officers all the time, but I have people calling me from the community all the time saying, hey, I called animal control, and I got a stray dog in my neighborhood, and they said, well, did it try to bite you? Well, no. Well, then we're not coming. Hmm. And they just don't respond.
Hmm.
And we would rather provide a little bit better service.
Yeah, and they're gonna, the Humane Society is working on a beautiful new building as well. And so is Pima Animal Care. They've got a new building as well coming on. So what about your state of the town, address, which is really only about a month away right now? What will be the message? Give our listeners a little preview, Mayor Honey.
Well, it's 40 years incorporated for the town. And we're going to cover a very wide range of where we were and where we are now and what we have accomplished and what our citizens have accomplished. You know, Marana's the fastest growing community in southern Arizona now, Bill.
Hmm.
And people are coming here for a reason. Great schools, great roads, great parks. They love our police. And we're going to have a little different speaker type thing. I'm not going to do the whole speech. We're
really
going to have the police chief and a couple other people do part of the speech. And it's to talk about how the town of Marana is almost like a family. And we work so well together, and our people are so happy. And I think that was very evident in the last election we had in November. All of the incumbents, even though we didn't all support each other, won easily.
Hmm.
And I think that says people are really happy to live in our community. They're happy with our police and parks and our roads and the services they get from our community.
What about the whole idea with the outlet mall? And, you know, malls are struggling, Mayor, as you know. The competition from Amazon and others, it's kind of a difficult time for the future of malls. What are you hearing?
Right. It's doing pretty well. It was up from last year. So they're doing better. And you're correct, Bill. Amazon and online is affecting retail in big ways.
Yeah.
We have a group coming in right now. They've already applied for the permit for a Hampton Inn over at the outlet mall.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a 4-story, 104-room hotel. And I think that will help them all as well. We get a tremendous amount of Sonoran traffic at our outlet mall.
Hmm.
And so that will really help. We have retail opening all over Marana, over on Arizona Pavilions across from the Walmart Supercenter. We have a Petco, a TJ Maxx, and Home Goods, or Ross are open now. Home Goods and Dollar Tree are in the process. So we're going to open 5 new stores probably within the next month or so. We'll have all 5 of those open. So retail is coming, but they're being very particular where they go.
Yeah.
Because you're absolutely correct. You know, you can't have a Ross on every street corner. Maybe
no.
You have 4 or 5 in a big community like the Tucson Basin.
Mm. 40 years on the council, and you must be pushing like about 70 years old. Is that correct?
I am pushing it. I'm standing on the edge of the cliff. I'll be 70 in July.
Oh, wow. And you're still trying to stay physically fit?
I went out and hiked yesterday, and I do about 20 miles a week power walking.
Wow.
And I hike a lot in the cooler weather.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost summer now. It was 96 on my back porch just a few minutes ago.
Oh, my
But
goodness.
I have been truly blessed. I'm almost 70 years old. I take no medications, and I'm doing quite well.
Well, good for you. Before we wrap this up, we've got about, several thousand jobs, not only Raytheon, but the Caterpillar people. They're going to be looking, these families, for places to settle. Is Marana attractive, do you think, to these newcomers?
Well, Bill, we've been doing more housing than almost all the other cities in Pima County combined for the last 3 or 4 years. And we had our best month last month that we've had in about 4 years. We have 76 new single-family housing starts.
Wow.
We average about 50, but with Caterpillar coming in and with so many of those, you know, Saguaro Ranch or Saguaro Bloom, which is right across the mountain there from Continental Ranch, is about a 15-minute drive from where the Caterpillar Center will be.
Wow.
And Marana has great schools. We have a great park over there. There's hiking and everything else. And we think a big percentage of those people will actually live in Marana.
Okay. Mayor Honey, always a pleasure, and good luck with your speech that's coming up. And that will be where? What's your venue, and are there still tickets available?
It's at the Ritz-Carlton. The last couple of years, it has sold out early. So if you would like a ticket, contact the Marana Chamber of Commerce, and hopefully they still have a few seats available.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. Ed Honey.
Do bees worry you? Do bees scare you? Would you like to know a pest control company who can give you options in dealing with this situation? How about bee removal? Or would you prefer to send them straight to bee heaven? Five Star Termite and Pest Control can give you these options. Call the professionals at Five Star, 886-0045, fivestar-termite.com.
Five Star Pest Control, we know what bugs you.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hey, St. Patrick's Day is Friday. What a great place to spend part of your St. Patrick's Day at a green place, green things. And St. Patrick's Day afternoon, 1 o'clock, a free seminar, Understanding Drip Irrigation. So that's going to be going on at Green Things on St. Patty's Day, 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. GreenThingsAZ.com for all your gardening information about their weekend seminars coming up. Let's go now and talk with Anthony Jimeno, a sports journalist who has spent much of the past couple of decades covering University of Arizona athletics, including football coverage for the Arizona Daily Star and the Tucson Citizen. Anthony is senior editor for Lindy's Football Annuals. He also provides sports content for KOLD-TV's website, Tucson News Now, and he's the co-founder of a local blog that's doing very well. It's called AllSportsTucson.com. He is the co-author of a book on Arizona basketball, which is appropriate for this time of year, 100 Things Arizona Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. He is also host of the Wildcats pre- and post-game shows on 1290 AM. Anthony, how are you?
I would say busy. Busy. It's a great time of year. I think this is probably Arizona fans' favorite time of year.
Well, I'm excited. Not only, of course, the Arizona Wildcats, but my other Wildcats, Northwestern Wildcats. Northwestern, sort of like the one of the big storylines of this year's tournament.
Oh, no doubt. They are everybody's Cinderella this year.
Yeah.
First time in the tournament. And, of course, it gets amplified a little bit in the bubble of sports journalism because so many sports journalists come out of Northwestern's program.
Yeah, that's
so
for sure.
So they are all hyping it up and writing stories and weeping and the whole thing because this is the first time, for those who don't know, the first time ever Northwestern has made the NCAA tournament.
You know, you look at this path to a championship for the Wildcats, the potential path to a championship, I think they got really, really fortunate this time around. What do you think?
I think that if you and I sat down and drew up a bracket that deliberately tried to favor Arizona, this is what we would come up with. This is what we could get away with without appearing like being totally in the bag for the Wildcats. So they get to stay in the West, and they deserve that because they won the Pac-12 tournament, so that's on them. But really, I guess I've heard a bunch of people talk about, Arizona should have been a number one seed. It really doesn't matter. And from a Arizona perspective, you'd rather be the number two in the West with Gonzaga as the number one rather than being a number one in the South and maybe playing a number two Duke or a number two Kentucky or something like that. So I think if the seeds hold and Arizona gets a rematch with Gonzaga, the Wildcats would absolutely love that.
I think
Gonzaga,
so.
They beat them back in early December, but they didn't have Trier. They didn't have Parker Jackson Cartwright. And we've seen just in the last week how Arizona plays on the revenge tour. Mm-hmm. You know, they avenged the loss to UCLA. They avenged the loss to Oregon. Now I think in the first round, they're out to avenge last season's first round loss to Wichita State. And if it gets that far, they're definitely going to be all in avenging the loss to Gonzaga back in December. So I think it's great. I think this is a fantastic path. Doesn't mean they'll get there. Doesn't mean there won't be hard games along the way. But on paper, this is pretty darn good.
I've got the bracket up in front of me here. This West bracket, which is San Jose, the eventual destination for the West. Who do you see as real difficult teams in this bracket?
The team I think I would be most afraid of, you know, you're looking at Florida State there in the Sweet 16, and they're a number three seed. And they are certainly battle-tested. They've gone through the ACC. They've played big game after big game. They've won a bunch of big games. They have their own lottery pick and a freshman named Jonathan Isaac, who is a little bit like Lowry, I guess. He's 6'10". He really has a lot of guard skills, which is a little different than Lowry, but can shoot the three pretty well. Very much a matchup nightmare for everybody. Again, he's projected as a lottery pick. So they're dangerous, no doubt, but they don't sit there in the Sweet 16 and just scare the pants off yet.
Mm-hmm.
The team that I would think would be a difficult matchup is sitting there at number four, West Virginia. So West Virginia would have to get to the Elite Eight for this matchup to happen. But there's a reason West Virginia is known as Press Virginia. Because they full court press, are the best in the country at it. They lead the nation in steals. They will just hound you, get after you. That's the type of team, especially that game would be on the back end of the week. So you'd have essentially like a day and a half to prepare for it. And I think that kind of team stylistically could be loads of problems for Arizona. But a lot of things have to happen before that matchup takes place. But Notre Dame at number five is a veteran, savvy team, doesn't beat itself, very clutch at the end of games. So once Arizona gets past the first weekend, those are some of the teams, Gonzaga, Notre Dame, Florida State, West Virginia, that in some combination, those will be difficult challenges.
And a second round can also, and years past, has been a difficult time for some of the CAT teams. You've got St. Mary's. They're always a solid team. They may get by Virginia Commonwealth University.
Yeah, St. Mary's is having arguably their best regular season ever.
Yeah.
They've lost four games. Three of those have been to Gonzaga, which is in their conference. And they didn't particularly match up very well against Gonzaga. Now, if we're looking ahead, what St. Mary's brings is a very, very deliberate, efficient offense. They play very slowly. They will screen and pass and move that shot clock down. And then on defense, they're number two in the country in fewest points allowed. So they play slowly, which keeps the score down. And then they just play very, very sticky man-to-man defense and rebound the heck out of the ball. So that is definitely an interesting matchup of styles. I think Arizona ultimately would have too many athletes for them and would speed them up a little bit. But it's the kind of thing, again, on the back end of a week, you only have a day and a half or so to prepare for it, that would be very interesting. So St. Mary's certainly wouldn't be in awe. Randy Bennett is a great coach. Sean Miller respects the heck out of him. Arizona has done some of those preseason scrimmages against St. Mary's, so he's a little bit familiar with the program and the team and all that. So that would be, don't go writing that in pen. It would be a very intriguing matchup. You know, again, Arizona should definitely win if that's the case. And VCU isn't quite the VCU that made the Final Four about 5-6 years ago. So we'll see who wins that. But I'm guessing St. Mary's will be the one that advances Saturday.
All right. In summary, I think a lot of people will be disappointed. Certainly will be disappointed if we don't go beyond the Elite Eight. I think this looks like a really, really good shot at the Final Four, at least. Wouldn't you agree?
I do. Usually I'm the contrarian and would try to tamp down expectations. But, set your hopes up and dream for it all for the Final Four in Glendale, because it looks really good. I don't think the last couple weeks could have gone any better for Arizona. And in a strange part, a lot of that's due to when they lost to UCLA at home.
Yeah.
I think that that got them mad.
Yeah, got
you know, they didn't sulk. They got mad.
It lit the fire. AG, yeah. AG, always a pleasure. Thank you, Anthony Jimeno. Thank you, sir.
Hi, Bill.
All right, Anthony Jimeno always does such a great job. Check him out at allsportstucson.com. That's the website that's going very well for Mr. Jimeno. We're happy for that. A show that's doing well. Mike Check with Mike Shaw, 4 to 5. Ray Allen ably assisting Mike, and together they put together a great hour. And then tomorrow morning, 3 hours of talk with Wake Up Tucson, talking culture from 9 to 10. And then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you tomorrow. We're going to go heavy into education. We have the superintendent with us of Arizona's public education system, Diane Douglas. Kara Nulick also with us tomorrow. Very busy show, full hour as usual. Have a great afternoon and evening.